Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to Recall the Midwife. We are three best friends and super fans of Call the Midwife, and we've decided to rewatch every single episode and discuss it. Today we are watching Series 6, Episode 8. Why not watch along with us? I'm Alex.
I'm Becky.
I'm Jen. And a reminder that this week's episode deals with serious illness, death, and dying. So if those topics are ones you would prefer to skip this time, we understand and hope you join us for the next one.
In this week's episode, Sheila is nearing her due date, and Nurse Crane helps her to see that it's time to step back from work. Sheila has to decide which midwife will deliver her baby, and she chooses Sister Julienne, who delivers a baby boy. Barbara gets news from home that her father has taken up a missionary post in New Guinea and will be gone for 3 years, which means that she and Tom are forced to bring forward their wedding so that Barbara's father can officiate. Barbara has only 3 weeks to make all of the arrangements. She struggles to make her own dress, so the midwives and nuns have a whip round to buy Barbara a ready-to-wear dress. Barbara asks Nurse Crane to be her bridesmaid. The family planning clinic opens and we meet Wilma Goddins, who decides to start taking the contraceptive pill after returning to work following her third child. Wilma is going to be working for Constantia selling corsets, but she starts to feel unwell and experiences a blood clot, a side effect of the pill, and she's hospitalized. Trixie's on secondment and she makes sure that her daughters are able to say goodbye before she passes. Meanwhile, Violet is suffering because of the menopause, and following Barbara and Tom's nuptials, Patsy returns to Poplar. That synopsis at the end, there was a lot going on. I was just like, and this happens, and this happens, and this happens.
Jam-packed,
it was
guys.
A very building episode, ready for the next, for Christmas, like the end of season, kind of let's tie a lot of loose ends.
Yeah. Because I also, was just like, Sheila's having a baby and she has a boy.
Well, also, girls, this really felt like event television, right? Like, this is like a series finale, like, boom, we are doing a lot. I was watching this and I was like, oh my gosh. I'm like, well, wow, they're really laying the groundwork for Barbara and Tom's wedding and the Christmas special. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh my God, they're married. Like, just yes, so much. Again, like a bell I'm constantly ringing, but like so much happened in this episode. And I just felt like it just got bigger and bigger and bigger. Like, I thought Sheila was going to deliver in the next episode. She delivered in this one. Like, just, my gosh, a lot happened.
And actually, Sheila was the only expectant mother in this episode.
Yeah, that's true. Also, I mean, another thing I always have to say, I cried instantly. I cried throughout the whole episode. I was crying happy tears and sad tears. I was just alternating like a lot as we were going through it. I mean, oh my gosh, the emotions were just so high for me this week. Like, everything just felt like off the charts. Anyways.
Should we start by talking about Wilma Goddins?
Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, Wilma. Lovely, glamorous Wilma and Trevor, who was really hapless and really quite... gormless, if I'm honest.
Yeah, he's kind of a bit of a loaf of bread type of a guy. Sorry.
Like, she was really starting to get back in her groove as well after having three. So she had three daughters. Trevor always thought she was going to give him a boy.
Yeah. And she was like, Gail, nope.
Gail, the youngest, was going to go with her sister. I just think Gail as a baby name makes me lol. I don't know why. It's obviously an adult name, isn't it?
Well, wait, can we just say, though, because I watched the episode this morning, and I watched the episode this morning, and they start the Wilma Goddins storyline by kind of giving us the intro that a contraceptive option is going to open at the family clinic around in another office on the side of the same building, but they're going to direct the women to go through like a side door to get into it. And, you know, they have a lot in there. And, but Sister Julian gives them the news after Sister Monica Joan complains that, what is it? English muffins or crumpets or
crumpets
whatever,
are cold.
Crumpets are cold and everything. And she's like, there was a delay in the time between toasting and serving because our blessing was too long. And the look that Sister Julian gives, she's like, well, okay. And she just moves right along. But it was like, I think I wrote like side eye in my notes because she almost always never does that. But the thing is, then they introduced the contraceptive clinic, and Sister Julian is, you can tell, has very, very mixed feelings about it. But all the young girls, all the midwives, are very excited. They think it's a great idea, and they kind of debate like whether, you know, the women should be allowed to come in the front, considering family planning is all
the same. It's like a shame thing. They shouldn't be shamed,
right? And only married women can get it anyway.
Yeah, it is like it's almost like a backstreet thing by the fact that they have to go round the back to the back entrance to get in.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But they also have to be married or about to get married in order to actually get any access to the contraceptive clinic. So it's actually ridiculous.
Yeah, because Barbara goes.
She.
Well, we're going to get there, but yes, she does. But then, so the contraceptive clinic is kind of the set piece. And then Wilma tells, really, I hope, a very rare story in this whole contraceptive journey that we're all beginning at this point in 1962. But
yeah, it was a bit weird. I didn't know when I first watched this years ago. I was a bit confused. I've watched it now and I realised they're just trying to tell the story that the young nuns were excited about it, but actually there are some downfalls kind of to it for women's health as well.
Yeah.
Because they were thinking it was a miracle. But like, I didn't know if they were trying to say that she'd taken them wrong and that's why she got a blood clot. And I know they said, because obviously they had a scene where her and Trevor were on the new sofa, christening the new sofa. Also, how rank was that scene about the old sofa when like my dad died on this and my granddad died on this. And when I'm downwind, I can sometimes catch wind of it. I'm like, bleh, bleh. But he still wanted to go on the sofa. Do you know what I mean? He still wanted to love it.
Yeah.
But anyway, they showed her after they had been amorous on the new sofa because of her Constanza Corsatia. You know,
yeah, exactly.
But they were saying that they showed a scene of her taking the pill then, and it was like she looked panicked, like, oh, I forgot to take it today, kind of thing. I don't know if they were trying to say she'd taken too much or not. I don't know.
Well, she did.
I don't think she took too much.
No, she did. She took two.
She took two in that moment, but she was already like indicating that she was having pains like prior to having taken two. Like the second one might have just accelerated it, but like she was gonna be sick no matter what. I mean, she was already feeling really bad anyway. And I mean it was tough because it's like contraceptive pills are a huge thing, like a really, really wonderful thing, but they're obviously your side effects and they're very serious. And this was, you know, the beginning of this medication coming onto the market. So I'm sure there were side effects that they hadn't kind of realized were going to be a feature of that medication for some people.
Well, also on the actual, when she first went in, she went into the doctor and the doctor was, she was asking questions basically. It's like, is it like opening a bank account? Do I need his permission?
Yeah.
My mind was blown. I forgot about that. Like, we obviously have spoken about it before, you, but you just forget. Could you have a bank account without a husband's permission? And then the doctor was like, you don't even need his knowledge.
Crazy. Drives me crazy. Which, like, thank God, because, you know, the thing is, like, and this is what I was thinking about later, because Trevor is such a nice husband. Like, he genuinely is, like, a sweet man, right? But at the same time, she says, I don't want him to know because he thinks he's going to get a son, but, like, that's just not going to happen. Like, I'm done with babies. Like, I've had three children. I want to live my life. Like, I'm ready to do this. And you just kind of wonder, like, they couldn't even, she didn't even feel that they could have a conversation about it.
Well, exactly. I mean, so was he that good?
Well, that's my point, is that, like, even like, quote, a very sweet, like, nice, loving husband, still there's not the space to even have that conversation in a productive, meaningful way. Because if he overrides her, I mean, then she's really going to be sneaking behind his back, or she's going to do what he says, which, like, both are bad, you know? So it's just,
I will say, though, he did say something that was a bit like, isn't that nice? He said, you look beautiful, like, when you were younger. So basically, you look beautiful Like when you were you're old now. You've put a bit of makeup on, you look a bit better than normal. Like when we used to get up to no good on this sofa, and then she's like, the one my granddad died on. He's like, yeah, come here.
She's like, nope, sorry, I'm not interested. Yeah. But the thing was, is that like she was getting her joie de vivre back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like she's like, you know, she's like, you know, as Costanza's staff, like I have to wear makeup, like I have to be a good representative for
the
company.
She was a good salesperson when she saw Violet, the corset. She was amazing.
Yeah, yeah. No, wait, is Costanza a real brand or is that just made up for the show?
Well, I think it's got to be a real brand.
I don't buy corsets, generally.
Well, but I mean, like, you know, like, I just wondered if that was like, if they just chose that, because they reference other real places, and I just didn't know if they might, if that was a big enough company that they just.
Do you know what I thought they meant?
In there.
Do you remember George Costanza in Seinfeld? That's what it reminded me of. Becky, are you looking it up? Becky can look it up while we talk.
Yeah, exactly. No,
you need to edit this because we'll get criticism. They don't even do their research.
You know what, guys? You get this for free. Tough. Listen to us Googling live.
You get what you get. Well, I will say this, like the corsets were kind of making me laugh in a way, because if I'm thinking of corsets from that time, even when she was describing the one that she was trying to sell to Violet, where it has like all these ventilations and like, you know, bits and everything that are opened up and stuff. I know what those materials are. Like it's a lot of polyester mesh, you know, nylon, you know, mesh, like stretch as much as you can. And then, you know, but there doesn't really, but like elastic is really not a thing at that time. Like true, like elasticated fabrics, like didn't come on the market until like the 1970s. And so like, you're going to have a lot of very like rigid pieces and parts to that girdle. And like, even if it's, you know, try to make it more comfortable for, you know, all the hot flashes and everything like that. And like, you know, what's the word she uses in there? Like delicate under framing or something, you know, like a way to like basically refer to your, you know, and I just thought
the carriage.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, she's still going to be sweating so badly in that thing. Like, just not wearing it at all would be way better.
This was a very girdle heavy episode because.
Yes, it was. Because when Barbara was wedding dress shopping.
Yeah. Nurse Crane referenced it, but we'll talk about that later. So anyway, sorry.
I think I missed some wedding dress.
Well, back to Wilma. Anyway. She decided not to tell Trevor about it, but she still wanted to go ahead. So she got the pills and she kept them in her bag because she was like, he'll never go through them. And can I just say, my husband refuses to go through my handbag. He said, it's just disgusting. And he's like, I won't be able to find anything. It's horrible. He just gives it to me to get me to find something. You won't even look in it. It's like, it's rank. I'm like, all right.
Calm down. Jeez.
Yeah. So anyway.
Not that bad.
It's not that bad, to be fair. Anyway, Wilma. Yeah. So she gets them, puts them in the handbag. Anyway, she spends the night on the sofa with Trevor. And they basically wake up and they're like, oh, we've got to get ready. Ah. And she looks
Wait. Hell. Girls. I'm sorry, not to be rude to like Trevor, but I don't know what time they started on the sofa, but they did all the stuff they did and then they fell asleep and like fully took a nap. And then by the time they woke up, the end of the show was playing. She's like, oh, it's the epilogue.
The epilogue. I think that means like, I thought that meant that that's what went on the telly, because telly stopped at a certain time.
Oh, does it mean something different?
Yeah, I think it meant that that TV had stopped for the night. They didn't have programs through the night or anything.
So it was like 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like maybe like 60 or 90 minutes later. And I'm like, well, wow, y'all got through that pretty quick. Like, you know,
also
and
then
you had a full sleep and then you like woke up, you know.
But also it looked like the most uncomfortable sofa.
Oh, I don't know how they managed it on that.
For two people to get up to what they got up to and then take a nap on it.
Well, the napping's more shocking, let's be honest.
I know. I mean, it's not even a deep sofa. The cushioning looked very minimal. And then it had those really like that curved wooden frame, which like beautiful Scandinavian design. Like I'm with her on that, but you're not going to be able to rest your head on there. No, no, no. I don't know. I was like, well, good
on
you.
So anyway. So Wilma wakes up. She looks like absolute hell the next morning when the kids are all crying or getting ready for school. Whatever.
She's gray. She looks.
She's throwing cornflakes all over the shop.
She looked like me yesterday morning after my work to do on the Friday night. I felt like hell. So she gets rushed to hospital, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah. Trixie's there because she's on secondment, luckily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was just really sad.
It was terrible.
They needed to do a tracheotomy because she was stopping breathing then, but they didn't know actually what was wrong. They thought maybe she'd had a stroke because they didn't obviously know about the pill. Because obviously, would it be on her records?
No.
Obviously, there's no electronic records either, is there, in those days?
Yeah, I mean, you would think it would be on their records, but between there would probably be a delay between the hospital. But then you'd think Dr. Turner would go and look at her records.
Yeah.
Maybe it just wasn't fast enough. It just, yeah. I don't know, maybe. Why Trixie was asking, yeah.
Yeah, they didn't know. They asked Trevor and he was like, no, we want a son. Well, little did he know. And so anyway, so they said to, it got really awful. They had to perform a tracheotomy and they were basically like, look, Mr. What was Goddins, you're going to have to get the kids. Anyone you want to say goodbye, you need to get them here now, kind of thing.
Oof.
And I really did think she was going to recover when I first watched this.
I thought she was going to be okay too.
And he said, oh, she's, you know, she's into God. We need to get someone. So they got Tom because, you know, that's exactly who you need in a situation like this.
Yep.
Yeah, just before his wedding, he's doing that. And to be fair to him, he might have been grateful, Trevor, I don't know. So anyway, Trixie did the makeup for Mrs. Godden. She was basically doing the undertaker's a favour. She did a great job.
She did.
She did. Mm-hmm.
Which I thought actually was very, very kind of her, because obviously Wilma had done makeup course, a grooming course with Costanza, and she looked amazing, to be fair, went the whole way through. So I thought that was really lovely, the way she did that. The scene where the children's came in for a cuddle and to say goodnight.
Oh,
killed me.
Oh, I was sobbing. I was absolutely sobbing. It was so heartbreaking.
Same.
The way that they both like put their little hands out, and the older girl put it out and then kind of pulled it back, and then like very gingerly just like touched her mom's forehead. Oh my Lord.
Can I just tell you though, I was thinking about this. I would not that my daughter's going to do it. I would not want my daughter being an actress, even acting that scene out. It would make me too upset and make her too upset. I just think kudos to those little kids for that amazing acting there, because, oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, on that note, I have an appropriate story, which is, it's the new series of The Crown, isn't it? And Dominic West is it Dominic West that plays Prince Charles?
Prince Charles, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so his son in real life played William in an earlier series of The Crown, and he hadn't had any acting experience, obviously, a bit of nepotism there. He he did audition and played William. And they then invited him back to play William in the current series of The Crown that's just been released. And Dominic West told him that he couldn't do it because there was no way he could act the scenes with his own son where he has to tell him that his mother's died.
Oh. What he's saying is his son couldn't handle the acting because he wasn't very good.
I'm joking.
Well, that'd be way too close to home. I totally get that.
Well, and not to divert to like a Crown podcast now, but basically like the kid they got to play William and Harry kind of medium or whatever, but the kid they got to play William like for this series, it like looks pretty a lot like him, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what Dominic West's son looks like, but I don't know that he would have been as good of a match, you know, for that as well, like if he would have aged
just
enough.
Let's just really quickly divert to The Crown. Princess Diana in this one is ridiculously good.
Oh my gosh, she's amazing. And
she's
just
like her.
Exactly like
her. But not just look like her. She sounds just like her. She's got a mannerisms. Bang on.
She's got everything. Yeah. I mean, it's like truly come. I mean, it was
watch
wild.
Out
like,
for the podcast we're doing on The Crown in a few years' time. Anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Stay tuned. We'll cover that whole show. Oh, man.
The other thing that killed me was Violet going with the navy ribbons for the girl. She's like, well, favoured navy. And just killed me. It was so kind of her and so lovely. Because obviously Violet had quite a lot to do with her just before her death as well.
Yeah.
Do you know what broke my heart though is that dad isn't going to raise those kids because they're going to get palmed off on an aunt or
her sister was taking Gail while she went back to work, wasn't she?
Yeah. I just thought what was his name Bernie?
Trevor.
He's going to like try and fail. Sorry. I mean, he'll like try to be a good dad and he like will love the girls, but I'm like, he's either going to get remarried really fast and it's going to be like Stepmom City, and then he's going to do the exact same thing to the new lady that he did to Wilma, which is like, okay, you're full-time mom, I'm just going to like literally sit on the sofa and then boff you there every once in a while when I feel up to it or whatever. But then like if he doesn't go that route, then it's going to just be him just, I mean, the oldest daughter is going to turn into basically like a surrogate mother, and then she's going to raise the two girls, like get some help from the aunt, like make it work, and then she's gonna just want to see the backside of her dad basically, like when she becomes an adult. I'm sure of it. It's just not going to go well. It's just not going to go well. Like he's just not.
Well, he's a man
that.
In the early 60s. Men didn't bring children up.
And she even says, she's like, you're even old fashioned for now. You know what I mean? Like he said something about something and she was like, well, oh, that was the thing. She was making dinner or she was making his lunch for the next day. And she says, oh, I ran out of bread. So like, I can't make you a sandwich. And he says, well, I don't eat lunch until 12. So you can just bring it to me tomorrow before that. And she says, no, I'm not doing that. She's like, you'll get corned beef and hash and you'll like it. You know what I mean? And then she's like, oh, aren't you old fashioned by half or something? I don't know. But anyways. And so she's even calling him like behind the times for 1962.
Yeah.
So Lord knows, like, no.
Also on this, when Trixie was doing the makeup, she found the pills in her bag.
Yeah. So they confirmed how they, it.
Yeah.
But, well, because we touched on it earlier when we said, obviously, we know now that if you're on the pill, you get your blood pressure monitored. Yeah. But when you read the safety, I mean, you should never really read it. But when you read the leaflet that comes with any medication, it obviously lists all of the possible side effects. And that's because somebody has recorded those side effects.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So obviously, when there were safety issues, and it's only off the back of people like Wilma who've suffered blood clots that they obviously know that that's a cause.
Well, I'm 42 and I went to the doctor. And they were talking about different things because I get horrible headaches and stuff. And they were like, we don't need to go on the pill because you're too old.
Oh.
So they didn't want me on the pill over 40.
Oh.
And it's obviously for health risks from that kind of thing. Obviously, she wasn't. She was a horrible, horrible anomaly, but, you know.
Oh, gosh.
And
it's really serious medication. It's really serious medication.
And from what I can tell, Constanza was a genuine corseteers.
It was. But
yeah. Well, from what I can tell, there's Constanza corse. It's out there, but I can't tell if the company still exists or it's a Constanza style corset that's still out there.
Yeah, ooh. I saw the Constanza style ones.
Yeah, but for anybody who's about to post a comment criticizing us for looking things up on the podcast, poor Wilma had to go to the library to look up the contraceptive pill.
Yes.
So we shouldn't take for granted the power of the internet.
Yeah, think about how much information we wouldn't even be able to give you at all if we had to go physically look it up. Then we would just
Speaking of information, do you remember last week when we couldn't remember the name of the friend of Rhoda?
Yes.
In the hospital.
Oh, yeah.
I thought, you know what? I'm actually going to do this. So the name of the episode is An Ode to Lydia, Rhoda Bullock's pal, because I was like, I'm going to find it out. Lydia. I said Liz, nearly. Anyway, which storyline are we doing next, Bex?
Sheila.
Oh, another one that had me sobbing. Like, just
and I think
crying.
We can, I mean, none of us are pregnant, but I think we can all sympathize when Sheila's suffering from her hormones.
Very much. For people who don't know, we message each other constantly being like, I am so hormonal.
And I actually thought to myself today, I'm acting so crazy. And then I was like, oh, I've got my period.
Well, every time I just have like outlandish rage because like literally nothing happened, I'm always giving you two status updates like, girls, I was about to burn my house down because one thing went wrong.
My problem is I'm like that 30 days a month. So I don't know if it is my period. My favourite thing in this episode about Nurse Crane, so Sheila gets a bit emotional. And Nurse Crane says, Sheila, would you join me in the kitchen? I want your opinion on a mother who isn't doing what she ought.
And this annoyed me because Sheila's missed 3 checkups.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
I said the audacity to miss 3 routine checkups.
I know.
Because Sheila wouldn't, I don't care that she's a midwife.
Yeah.
She wouldn't tolerate that from an expectant mother.
You really wouldn't. She wouldn't tolerate it if it was another nurse, would she?
No.
I mean, the thing that's so wild is like Phyllis says so compassionately to Sheila, you know, you have to just let go and give yourself over to this pregnancy. You've been kind of holding it at arm's length for so long, just like it's happening to you, but you're not kind of changing anything about your life. But now is the time where you really just have to give in. And it was just the way she said it, I thought was so sensitive and wise. I mean, Phyllis is so great. So, you know, nothing surprising there, but it was just a beautiful way of saying it, I thought. And Sheila really took it on board. She immediately was, you know, was like, I'm going home. I'm going to rest. I'm going to, you know, stop working and all that kind of stuff. And then although after that, though, Phyllis talked to her about, you know, who's going to deliver your baby. She's like, it's one of the few perks that we have in this business. And so then Sheila comes back in.
Hang on, before we go on to this really quick.
Okay.
Because we want to talk about this. I just want to say really quick, Dr. Turner trying to get her baby at hospital really annoyed me. That is literally the exact opposite of the brand he has. They've tried to stop them closing the maternity home and getting people to go to hospital. And he's saying, have the baby in the hospital. What? And I know what they're trying to say, because he's worried, because he's his own, you know, because it's his own family and stuff. But that really annoyed me.
Yeah, I agree. That's pretty hypocritical.
Anyway, sorry, carry on. Who did she choose, Jen?
Well, so she walks in and she kind of makes this big pronouncement, because all the ladies are in the, I don't know what the room is called, but it's basically the room where they have all their supplies and they pack their bags and they get their orders for the day and everything. And she walks in and says, this is a big decision. And I thought a lot about who I want to help deliver my baby. And so I've chosen. And then she like pivots and she says, Sister Julianne. But the look on Phyllis's face was like so excited and expecting that it was going to be her. And then when she hears Sister Julianne's name, it's almost like she like lost the Academy Award or something, you know? No, she's like trying so hard to be gracious, but she's really struggling with it.
If honest though, why did she think it was going to be it? Like, I know. Don't get me wrong, she's really amazing and they're great mates and everything, but the history that Sister Julianne and her have, literally Angela's middle name is Julianne. Why did you think it was going to be you?
Yeah, well, they've been just through everything together. I mean, exactly. Yeah, like, and any other choice would have been absolutely honestly crazy. But at the same time, like, I think Phyllis wants to belong, you know, like, I think she wants to really feel like a member of the community with these women. And you know, and I think she didn't maybe feel the same. I mean, the thing is, so I'll just jump ahead. So separate from Sheila's thing, then Barbara notices how Phyllis is looking at that moment. Yeah. And you can tell that she is kind of like, well, what can I do? You know, how can I help? Like, I feel really bad for her. Not feel bad for her, but she just is very sympathetic. She's a very empathetic, you know, person. And so then Phyllis is doing her crazy exercises in her bedroom where she's like swinging her arms around and like kicking her legs and all this kind of stuff. And Barbara comes in and says, can I talk to you? And she says, well, no, I have this busy evening plan, like the biggest part of which is these exercises, and I really can't stop.
Canadian Air Force.
Yeah, the Canadian Air Force routine, exactly. And so Barbara just realized, she's like, okay, I'm just going to keep going. Like, we don't have to have her like paying attention to me. And she says, I want to ask you something really important, or like a really big favor or something like that. And she says, will you be my bridesmaid? And it totally stops Phyllis in her tracks.
But do you think that she asked Phyllis because she could see she was disappointed? I think she would have asked Phyllis once she really started thinking who she was going to have for her bridesmaid.
Yeah, I think that was just a scene to kind of show her a disappointment, because I don't think she actually would have been that disappointed normally. I think they've done that to kind of been like, she does have a place in this community and it's with Barbara. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, we'll hang on. I don't want to leave this point, because I really want to get back to Sheila, because Becky texted me before and said,
oh, right.
Who would you have? She said we need to ask in the podcast. Who would you have?
She texted both of us, okay? It wasn't just only you, okay?
I meant us, all right. I meant us. Who would you have as your
midwife?
Oh, midwife to deliver your baby for you.
Now, out of this choice right now, but then I've got a second question for you. And I think both of your answers are going to be very, very easy on this, but mine's going to be harder. My second question is for you is, out of us three, who would you have as your midwife?
Oh. Okay, so wait, we're going to pick our call the midwife first, yes. And then we're going to pick our recall the midwife second.
Yes. Okay. So, Bex, do you want to go first?
So I would have Nurse Crane.
Ooh. That's a good choice. That actually would fit you in your style very well.
Yeah, I just feel like Nurse Crane, I just think I would feel most relaxed with Nurse Crane.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I see myself as the Barbara to Nurse Crane. And out of you two, Alex, you would just be four.
Your choice is easy. Mine's actual hard Sophie's choice.
Yeah, I feel like both you and I, Bex, have a really easy decision, and we'll just choose each other.
But actually, I'm not great, because I was walking home from work once and I did happen upon somebody who'd come off his bike and he'd really badly cut his chin, and he needed stitches, and we were just trying to work out, he was on his way to a work's do after work, and we were trying to get hold of somebody, like we stopped to help, we were trying to ring people for him, we were like, well, I think you do need stitches, and then partway through I was like, I am not okay with the blood, and to go off to one side and sit down.
That's actually making my decision a little bit easier. Also, yes. I think you might be a bit harsh with me. I think you might be like, shut up and just breathe.
I think it would just be Jen. And Jen really is screwed, because if she got either of us, I don't think it would be great.
Oh, jeez. Oh, see, Bex, I could see being the kind of one that, like, if she, like, everything would be pristine. Like, you would have, like, folded the sheets a certain type of way. The pillows would be crisp. You'd have all the instruments lined up. They would be
I think she'd be
glistening.
very, very
Like, they.
capable. I do think she'd be very capable.
Yeah,
My
I think
decision,
you would
until she
too.
told me
Yeah.
that story then, my decision was very, very hard. But then
Yeah.
she's just told me that story, so I'm like, oh, actually, I don't want someone fainting.
Also, do you think
Yeah.
I wouldn't hand the baby over instantly, would I? I'd be like, oh, she
No,
did.
you would just keep the baby.
Oh, you literally would just run off with the baby. Yeah, that's true.
Me and Alex have gone to visit friends before who've got a baby. I was like, I'm going to hold this baby 90% of the time.
And I'm like,
You're
that's
like,
not fair. And she's like, tough, deal with it.
Bex is like, you can look at the baby. That's all you can do. The only thing you can do is look. I get to hold the
Okay,
baby.
so
Who would you
Alex,
have? Oh,
who would your
I thought long and hard about this. And I think it was between Nurse Crane and Sister Julienne, basically. Do you know who else I think could be really good, though? Well, obviously Barbara, obviously Valerie. I
I thought
wouldn't
you would
want.
pick Barbara.
Well, I do love Barbara, but then I think, do I want her rather than Julienne? I just think they'd make me feel really bad about myself physically. At least
That
it's
was part of
Julienne.
my decision. I'd be fine with Nurse Crane seeing my food.
Yeah, exactly. Say, well, I don't know if it, you know, fine with fine is a
A
term.
broad term. That's a
Yeah,
very
but I
intense
think sis,
term.
maybe. Do you know what? I'm going to say Sister Julienne because she's just so calm.
Yeah,
Yeah,
she is.
I need that. And when I was in labour, I was just shouting for them to just make me have a cesarean. And I just think Nurse Crane might shout and make me cry. So I'm going to go with Sister Julienne.
Then have you decided which one of the two of us you want?
You, because Bex just talked herself out of it, saying she
Oh,
couldn't
okay.
handle blood.
Good choice. Good choice. I
We don't need
promise I
two
will deliver your.
famists.
I will promise to deliver your baby safely and then not immediately take it. That is my solemn vow
Oh
to
yeah,
you
and
if
she's an
I'm
abductor, so
baby
yeah, I've
snatcher.
not. I mean, this none of this is proved. I might step up and be really good, but
Actually do think
well,
you would step up and be good. It was only that
I
story that
think you
made me
would
not.
too. I think you would
Yeah.
too. You would like you would have initial panic and then you'd be like, nope, we're getting this done. Like I'm
Yeah.
doing it. And then you would
Probably
focus
faint
and
by
get
the
right
end.
to it. Yeah, exactly. Like someone else would come in and be like, oh, thank God. And then they'd be like, no, you did a good job. And you're like, nope, I'm gone. I'm out of here. I don't want to do it anymore. Okay, so my choice for my call of midwife is absolutely Sister Julienne. No question about it. Like I am just a hardcore stan for her. She is solidly my favorite. I love her. I just think her energy is absolutely unreal. And you know what? I'll just take this quick moment to say this because when okay, I as you both know, I was like sobbing through this whole episode, but when Sheila is You know, they're Sheila's basically like hanging on Sister Julienne. You know what I mean? Like her head is on Sister Julienne's chest. They like have their arms hooked together. Sister Julienne is just holding her up, like letting her kind of like breathe through and like survive these contractions. And Sheila's really upset because she says, you know, I thought I'd be braver than this. I thought I'd be stronger than this. Like this birth is like really, really, really pushing me to my absolute limit.
Just one second while that happens, can I just say,
Yeah.
obviously I had a really bad birth and this is exactly how I felt. Like I just, when I watched this scene again, every time I've watched it, I've just cried and cried and cried, really had to stop it for like half an hour and cry
Yeah.
because that's exactly how I felt. I thought I'd be braver than this. I thought like I would be naturally good at this because I'm a woman and I should be. And I just felt like a failure and it was awful. And she was like, I thought it'd be a dream. It's a dream. Why did I dream of this? But it's a nightmare. Anyway, sorry, carry on.
No, it's so true. It's so true. And I just think like none of us ever know what it's gonna be like when we go through anything super, super painful, super challenging, super new that we've never gone through before. And I just thought that Sheila's honesty and like her vulnerability and her fear and weakness in that moment was actually just so beautiful and like amazing because it was just so real and so true. And like
Yeah.
she really thought like, oh, I've been to thousands of births, like I've done this before, like I know everything there is to know about it, but it's totally different when it's you, right? And so she's and the other thing too that is so beautiful to me about Sheila and Sister Julianne's like amazing, amazing friendship is that they've been with each other through so many really huge life events, and Sister Julianne's openness and like her open-heartedness like through it all, just accepting of Sheila and loving Sheila and just supporting her is so amazing. And like I had to write this quote down because Sheila just says like, I don't know how I'm gonna do this, like I just, you know, I because they oh Sister Julianne suggests that they start singing as a
I
way to
just say,
kind of
actually, maybe I'll change my mind because that really pissed me off. Sing. You want to sing? You can F off, mate. I'm not singing. Give me drugs. Carry on. Sorry.
No, it's okay. But so then she says, well, maybe we could try singing just as something to help you with these contractions. And she says, but all the songs I know are from my old life when I was a nun, and I don't feel like anything really applies to me now. Like, I don't even know who that person was anymore. Like, was she even me? Like, I feel so disconnected from that. And then Sister Julian, and like the tears were already flowing, but when I tell you, they were just like cartoon bursting out of my eyes now. She says, you are still all of those people. Every woman alive is the sum of all she ever did and felt and was. And when I tell you, like, I mean, I'm crying now. Like, honestly, that scene just absolutely was so beautiful. And I just thought that advice tore me to pieces. And I truly think, okay, Sheila was giving birth when she said that, but all of us have had major life transformations. Like, when you get to a certain point in your life, like, you've really evolved so much from who you were, you know, X amount of time before. And I don't know, like that, it just absolutely got me to my core, and this show like always does. And I already was feeling this episode was specifically like so profound, but anyway, so I well, mean, the next I made a scene meal of it now, but was her starting Julian singing. Would be my choice for sure. Well, yeah,
the next scene was her starting to sing, and then Dr. Turner sang, and I'm sorry, but that made me absolutely lol. So I'd gone from screaming crying to then screaming laughing because he cannot sing. I thought, if that happened in my birth, at least my husband's a good singer. Do you know what I mean?
But you know what I thought? It was lovely that she started doing that, and then she knew that he was like right there with her because he was outside the door.
Yeah.
And then also, she got him in, which I think should have happened. Like, I know it wasn't the good thing in the 60s, but she was like, we're not the same as everyone else.
Yeah, we're a really unique couple.
It's not what you know, it's who you know.
Yeah, really, really. But that was actually a really beautiful scene for them. Like, they sometimes can be a bit, like, I mean, I know I said it before, like, I love them so much, but sometimes they can be a bit much or whatever. But this episode, their love was so beautiful. Like, when he said something about, oh, she was saying about how every time he looks at her, he's a doctor, because he was saying about her feet were swelling, and he's like, I wonder if that's because of this or that or whatever, or just, like, the normal foot swelling that happens when you're late-stage pregnancy and everything. And then she says something about him looking at her like a patient all the time, and I can't remember it now. I put it down for the quotes episode that we're going to do when we do the recap, but basically, he says, when I look at you, I'd give you anything, or something like that.
Yeah, I noticed that as well. Now, backtracking slightly, I did make a note when Dr. Turner, so this is just before Sheila had the baby, and Dr. Turner bought her a cup of tea in bed, and Angela had put a pink wafer on the saucer. Now, I had to babysit last night.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
So I slept over at my brother's house because everybody was out late. So I was with my niece and nephew. Now, they are a biscuit household. So I was woken this morning with a cup of tea, 2 malted milk biscuits.
Oh, that's amazing. Cute.
But that's just standard in their household. And I was like, for Sheila, that's a real treat. But literally every morning they wake up with biscuits in bed.
Really? First thing, biscuit in bed.
Yes.
You know what? I've just become a biscuit office. Since I've done my knee, I can't lie, I've just used it as a big excuse to eat loads and eat my feelings, because I'm just like, oh, I have been really down. So we've just got loads of biscuits. I went to the shop the other day and I bought £17 worth of biscuits, and we tried, like, I've got every single type of biscuit in the shop, and we've been trying them in the office with cups of tea. And I'm not going to lie, it's been one of the best weeks of my life. Although, not that into pink wafers. Oh, back to pink wafers, though. I love the way she was like, the pain's all down my back and I've eaten a whole packet of pink wafers. They're like, I think a baby's coming. So anyway, so Dr. Turner goes into the birth and then he's with her, and it's this really big supportive scene where there's Sister Julianne, which represents her old life, Jen, and Dr. Turner, who represents a new life, and they're all together and they're bringing this baby.
Oh, such good symmetry. Yeah.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. And then she says, "You have a son. May the Lord bless you." Lovely. And she's overcome with emotion, Sister Julianne. And she says, "May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace." And then they place the baby into Sheila's arms. And it's absolutely just, I was bawling.
Oh, and that baby is sublime. Like, that little baby is so, so, so sweet. But you know what, girls? This is another Call the Midwife tradition. They have someone being born and someone dying at the same time.
Yeah.
They do that a lot, like the circle of life. Yeah. Someone going and someone coming. Yeah. Oh, I'm not going to sing it. I don't want to torture our listeners. I want us to have a show after this, so I'm not going
to. I may sing it, but we'll have to do a Patreon to give it a real treat.
Yeah, exactly.
And they have somebody starting a new life, which is Barbara.
Yeah. Yes. Ooh, Becky, what a transition.
Yeah. So wait, are we moved on to Barbara and Tom?
Yes.
Okay. This is Tom at his finest. I'm just going to say it. Like, I dog on Tom sometimes, but like, truly, this Tom in this episode is the best Tom.
Well, you say that, but there's one scene where he's like, "Oh, the wedding's just coming together." Yeah, it is, mate, because she's doing everything. You're doing naff all.
So well, she calls him out on it too. I like that.
They're getting married with 3 weeks' notice because Barbara's father is going to be a missionary in New Guinea for 3 years. And Barbara's always
so upset.
Yeah, she's always dreamed that her father would be the one to marry her. And she could, when she talks about how when other girls dream about wedding dresses, she's always dreamed about her father being the one to marry her.
Yeah, and she was saying she always dreamt of him. She always dreamt about the fact that he'd be the one at the end of the aisle waiting for her. Because obviously usually dads walk people down the aisle. But she was like, "But I'm marrying a man whose face I couldn't see, and now I can see your face and he can't marry." And she just got really upset. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, it was very sweet.
Yeah.
And we mentioned earlier that Barbara visits the family planning clinic. How awkward was, I mean, I think this goes to show that obviously Barbara and Tom are a really good couple. But also, like, nowadays, a conversation like that just wouldn't be awkward.
No. Yeah.
And she can't even bring herself to kind of say. She just says that all measures will be in place.
Yeah. Well, what I think is interesting is that times have certainly changed, but I think that in this way, it's kind of interesting to see the difference, because the assumption that basically Barbara is saying it like, okay, we're, you know, everything's in place on our wedding night so that we can go ahead and, you know, do what we're going to do. But, you know, clearly Barbara is thinking that she's going to keep working, life is going to keep going on. Whereas nowadays that would just be an assumption that, you know, you don't get pregnant until you want to get pregnant. And for most people, the idea that you would, you know, start that family trying journey at your wedding day would not necessarily be the case, is what the assumption is there. But I mean, even the discussion of sex is like so awkward for them both. And Barbara at least handles it, you know, with practicality. Also, but Tom is just like, oh, you know, he like kind of has this.
For awkwardness was Sister Julianne being the one on the sexual health clinic, basically. Like, Sister Julianne, a nun. And people are coming in, and that's going to make people feel really, really awkward. And it really made Barbara feel awkward.
Well, who do we think was the woman that was actually giving the stuff out? Because, I mean, we'd never seen her before.
No.
Also, just by the way, like, putting in the whole thing about the...
diaphragm.
The diaphragm. Oh, don't get me started. I was like, ugh.
Well, I just like, how does that feel? And Barbara says, marvellous. And then she has to bloody ride a bike home.
Oh,
the
Lord.
Minute somebody says to you, try not to tense your muscles, that's the one thing you're going to do.
So also, anyway, hang on, let's get back to it. So,
oh, sorry. Yeah.
Tom and Barbara then decide, do you know what? Her dad's going to come and see us before he goes. Let's just have the wedding in 3 weeks when he comes, because that's all we want. We're not waiting 3 years to get married because we're horny dogs. So... Brill cream episode.
Otherwise, the whole of Nanata's house would be covered in Brill cream.
And it's not a euphemism, it genuinely is Brill cream. Yeah, anyway, exactly. So anyway, Nurse Crane was so good though, sending her useful routes to, because she'd be like, oh, Barbara, you can be on district duty, and sending her useful ways for her, you know, wedding admin. But then the whole scene happens with Sheila's choosing Sister Julianne, and Nurse Crane was a bit on one, wasn't she? So then when it's actually the clinic the next day, Nurse Crane wasn't excusing Barbara for the contraception clinic, even though she had an appointment. Now, normally she'd be a bit of a stickler for, you've got an appointment at that time, you should go. But I think here, I think she was still salty about
Definitely. And she just took it out on Barbara. Yeah, definitely.
So then Nurse Crane probably knew that Sister Julianne was on duty.
Oh yeah, a rival. So we've already spoken about the fact that Barbara asked Phyllis to be a bridesmaid. But we haven't actually spoken about how beautiful that scene was, because Phyllis was like, no, Barbara, no. Like, she'd done something awful. She said, you ought to choose one of your friends. And Barbara's really annoyed and be like, I have chosen one of my friends, Phyllis. We've shared a room for over 2 years. You've taught me as much as anyone could about sharing my space with someone. Oh, it was just so, so cute.
And I love that Barbara can now speak Spanish.
I know. When she said, non lo so, something, 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 fortunata. Like, you know, like, I was like, oh my gosh, like, Phyllis learned Spanish and then Barbara had to learn Spanish to help her learn Spanish. And I thought it was so beautiful. Also, wait, can I just like pause because on this scene, because I brought it up earlier and then we diverted, which is totally fine. And
yeah,
just now that we're back to it, like, the thing that really touched me, and this is why I love this show. Like, there are so many reasons in this specific episode of like the overall reason for why I love the show. But this scene especially, I thought was so beautiful because this is something that gets said so rarely. But the thing is, I think that most friendships are like this, especially in our younger formative years, but especially friendships among women, because friendships among women are so deep and thoughtful and beautiful and like caring. And they always include, well, all good ones, I think, include like a lot of like paying attention to another person without them asking or telling, you know, just like noticing, what do they like? What do they do? Like, how do they behave? Like, what are the things that are gonna, you know, that are really them at their core? And then that's how you kind of respond to them, you know, like, you know what drink they like, so you order them that drink. Like, you know, like, you know how their tea is made, so you make, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, women are really, really good at that. And to me, when Barbara says, I can go forward and live with Tom now because I know how to live with somebody because you and me together, you showed me how to do that and how to be good at it. I just love that so much. And like, I know I said it last week, but the female friendships on this show are so beautiful. And the thing is, they're so deep and they are so multifaceted and they are so thoughtful. And I just like this, that scene is something we so rarely get to see, you know, like how fulsome like women's lives are and like how fulsome like our relationships with each other are. And it just was so beautiful to me. And I just, that like her saying to Phyllis, our relationship is now going to help me be better in this relationship with Tom. Oh, I just love it so much. It was just so beautiful. And the writing, whoever wrote this episode,
Thank you to us for being like the best friends in the world.
I am saying thank you to you two for being the best friends in the world.
Oh, do you know what? I'm not normally schmaltzy, but I'll say it right back.
Yeah. There was another scene, another bit
afterwards where she was saying, you know, I don't know who I'm going to get in my room. And Barbara was so like, I don't know who they are, but they would be so lucky to have you.
I know. And she said it in Spanish. Oh, it's so beautiful.
And also the fact that Phyllis says to her, like, you must choose one of her friends, thinking that she's going to choose one of the younger midwives. And actually, when we chose which midwife we would choose, if we were in that position, we all chose older midwives and nuns.
Mm-hmm. Who would you choose for your bridesmaid out of all of them?
Oh, that's a good question.
I'd choose Barbara, but then I realised she'd make me look awful, so maybe I'd choose...
You know what? I would choose Phyllis because I really feel like if I was in that group, I would be friends with Phyllis. Like, I would be like Barbara level friends with Phyllis.
Do you know what? I'd try and ask them all just wear your outfits, your nuns outfit. Yeah. Not your nun outfit.
You would do what Sheila did, which have like Chummy and Cynthia and Trixie, and you know, like you would have them that way. You do all of them. Yeah. I thought
also
it was so
can
sweet.
We just talk about dresses as we're talking about dresses, the wedding dress scene. So after this, Phyllis is all quite excited now, and she goes with Barbara to try a wedding dress on, right? And Barbara's like, oh, I've only worn a dress. And then Phyllis was like, oh, you've not worn a girdle, what's going on? And then I love the scene because Phyllis was getting very, very excited, and I loved it. But also she was really defensive of Barbara, saying if she pushes any harder for an off-the-shoulder neckline, she'll have me to reckon with. Now, I just want to say, what has a wedding dress seller done to the writers of Call the Midwife? Because do you remember, this one seems a bit like to have put her out a bit, but do you remember the scene with Sheila with the wedding dress seller, and she really...
Maybe this is Heidi Thomas.
Yeah.
Heidi Thomas's own experience.
That's what I mean.
See, I'm sad to say this is one of our deleted scenes, and I really usually I don't miss the deleted scenes too badly, but this one I'm really bummed about.
Well, also Nurse Crane gets really excited. She says, I do have a favourite, but I'm not saying which it is, but you'll need a corset underneath it. Like, she's just very getting excited. She was giddy, and it was so lovely to see.
So then I love Barbara's dress. I thought it was so beautiful.
It was beautiful. But the morning of the wedding, now I can understand the logic behind it. Give Barbara longer in the bathroom. Why did they put her last? You know that the hot water is going to run out.
Yeah. I know.
They must have known. What, they could have given her 20 minutes at the start.
Yeah. Well, and then she had to wait, which didn't seem like the worst thing in the world, but it just was funny because I was like, I hope someone accounted for that. Like, and she's just stood there, you know, it's not like she got to like sit down, have a cup of tea to wait. You know,
well, also, do you know what else I loved about the wedding day morning? How she was woken up. Well, she was woken up by her alarm, but then seconds later, they all came in and their singing was amazing. They need to form like a choir or a girl group.
I know. It was so cute. And they all had their hair in rollers and like the wraps around the head and all that kind of stuff like that. It was so sweet.
But can we quickly mention Tom stag do? Because
shout out to Fred.
Fred took him on a stag do. They went to the Black Sail, the Hand and Shears, and then Walthamstow Dogs.
Love it.
Well, and I love Fred's acting in that whole scene too, because Tom clearly had no plans to do it, and then Fred was like, oh, me and a few of the parish men's group lads, like, you know, decided we wanted to do this, like, just fancy a bit of a blah blah blah. And you could tell that Fred was like, this is like, I want to do this for Tom, but he also was like, I really want to have a good excuse to like just pull one out of the bag, you know.
And I loved the scene where he woke up in the shed, because Violet was if you're going to cut, don't come home drunk. So you just didn't go home. But who was Tom's best man?
He showed up the next morning. We don't know who he was. But I didn't see him in the episode.
Well, we caught a glimpse of him at the top of the aisle and he was dressed in uniform. And I was like, oh, who is he?
Basically, if you're the actor... If you're the actor who played Tom, Becky fancies you, and she wants you to
know. Tom's best man.
But there was just no, I wanted context. Like, how did Tom know him?
Like, where did he come from?
I will say this,
for the writers, they probably did do a scene, but there was so much to pack into this because it was the end of season tie-up.
I know.
I like the way that he won loads of money at the dogs, and Fred gave it him. Good old Fred as well, but it was he chose a dog called Hello Nurse, made me laugh.
And then something about Parson something or something like that. Yeah. One of them was religious.
And
one of them was
like Barb. Something nice. And it's like the fact that Fred said that made his cogs whirl. It's like, if Fred hadn't have said that, he'd just pocketed the money and done it with something else with it. But he's like, get the missus. Oh, actually, that's a really good idea.
Well, but the thing is, okay, now let's debate this, because so here's the thing. So they had this beautiful ceremony. It was totally gorgeous. Barbara was made up to the nines. Like, Barbara literally had Trixie's makeup, but like Barbara colors, like on her face. You know what I mean? Like, she had the pink lipstick and everything, but Trixie had clearly done her makeup. She looked absolutely beautiful. They're in the car, they're driving, and then Tom is like, wait, stop here. Now, here's the thing. I thought the same thing you did, Al. I was like, he had a windfall of cash and he booked the carousel. But the thing is, there's no way that he could have like gotten a carousel into Poplar 2 hours after he found out he had all that money.
But he did.
See, I think he figured it out and booked it after she told him the story. Because the thing is...
I don't think he did. I think we're supposed to believe that he managed to get it there that day.
But the thing is how? Like, there's no logistical way on
earth. Again, it's magical TV land where lovely things happen. Not real. Do you know what? Can I just say, those scenes, though, on this carousel just made me absolutely bawl. It was just gorgeous. And then it snowed. And then I was like, I'm the happiest girl in the world. And then I saw Alexandra at the wedding. I thought, that's a bit weird. Where were Tim and Angela?
But the thing is that like...
Where were Tim and Angela?
Oh, nowhere.
They were on the carousel.
Oh, were they?
Yeah, they were. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I'll shut up then. Carry on.
Yeah, no, but the thing is like, I just, again, like, Tom doesn't often hit me this way. Like, I love him, but whatever. But the thing is, like, when he says to Barbara, like, you know, like, close your eyes and everything, and he takes her up the little walkway and stuff, and then the carousel is there, and he says, okay, you can open them. And she's so shocked, and she's like, you did all this for me? And he says, I would do everything for you. And I oh my God, like, romance, girls. Absolute romance. Like, so dreamy, so cute. Like, and Barbara deserves somebody who's going to do absolutely everything on this earth for her. Like, amen.
Really,
like,
does.
And like, then they kissed, and then they went to the carousel, and it was like this whole full circle thing, and just
I want to do one more thing from this storyline as well, though. Barbara's dad came and it was lovely. They were doing like dancing scenes. You had to practice dancing, and you know, also her sister couldn't come because she was heavy pregnant about to give birth. Yeah. But anyway, she was asking advice about what he needed to do, and he was on the spot, and he's like, oh, I can't really think. But then he said, you don't need you don't need advice. You find joy in simple things, and that means you'll be happy, and you just like your mum in that respect. And she got really upset and cried and was all happy, and it was just lovely. I just wanted to give a shout out to her.
It was beautiful. Well, I just loved, like, I had kind of mixed feelings about Barbara's dad from time to time on the show, because, like, stuff she says about him, I'm like, whatever. But that was actually a really beautiful scene, like, and the way that he basically said, you know, listen, like, you don't need any advice from me on how to be, like, a great wife. Yeah. Just who you are means that you are already great. And that is honestly the most reassuring and best advice you could give anyone. So I loved it.
Should we do another storyline now? Should we do Trixie and Christopher?
Yeah.
Well, I've not got a lot to say about this. I mean, Christopher asks Trixie to meet Alexandra,
but then she says your daughter, like like we're all
who
sick.
Else would it be, honestly? Yeah,
that was just for us, wasn't it? Like, Alexandra, your daughter. We're a bit thick.
Expository line there for sure.
She's very posh, isn't she, Alexandra? You know, but it's a very common theme with Alexandra. Do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah. Christopher's posh all over, He's the one who got the sports car and takes him to pee and everything like that.
Did you see that scene, Jen? Because they said, perhaps we could look in boots after we've eaten our Knickerbocker Glory.
I
thought that is Jen's ideal day.
Oh, it really is. Knickerbocker Glory and then makeup shopping and boots. Oh, send me to the moon. I am, like, loving it. I'm loving it. I was like, boots, call back. What I would give to go into a 1962 boots and see what is in there. Oh my God. Girls, this is going to sound so stupid, but honestly, if I could time travel, I would go into the most mundane. I want to go into grocery stores. I'd want to go into drug stores. I'd want to go into clothing stores. Like, I just want to see the stuff that, like, that you don't get to see anymore. You know what I mean? Because all of that's the kind of stuff that doesn't really last. Houses last, furniture's last, vintage cars last, literature, whatever. That's great. But, like, the stuff of everyday life, like, can you just imagine, like, literally time traveling back now 60 years to a grocery store or a Boots and walking in there and seeing all of the, like, absolutely insane products that they would have. Some of the things we know now, but, like, all the original versions and, like, the original packaging and everything, and then, like, insane stuff, like, crazy, like, menstruation pads that, like, come with, like, a belt that you have to, like, tie around your waist and everything.
Napkins.
I mean, just, like, insane, like, just, like, soap and, like, perfume and, like, oh my God, like, and then if you go to the grocery store, like, all the cereals, like, all of the different things, all of the canned goods. I know I sound absolutely nutball right now, but, like, I'm telling you.
Well, I'm not gonna lie, it would be mega interesting.
It would be my dream. I would just love it.
I would love Violet Shop.
Oh my God, I know the notions.
Yeah.
The absolute notions. When she says, I'm struggling with 2-ply mohair, I'm like, let me see the struggle. Where is the, I would watch 10 minutes of
now,
Violet.
That was also a seamless link to the next storyline, Violet, with going through the menopause.
Oh,
now, I think they should have, I'm quite shocked with the audience and with the amount of people writing or whatever. And obviously all the audience are going through it or about to go through it or been through it. I think they would have more menopause storylines in this, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
But also the way she was like, have you heard of it? Have you heard of the menopause, Fred? And he's like, no.
Well, but that's probably truthful because they probably hadn't.
Yeah, I know. I just couldn't believe it, though.
But bless his heart when Fred hugs Violet, but at the same time is fanning her. I just loved it.
Oh, but also, what did he do that really made her feel more centered?
Oh, yeah, because obviously, I mean, she's obviously not thinking that she's going to have children, but she's thinking of it very much as the change of life. And he brings Reggie back with flowers.
Oh. Killed me.
Well, I just thought Fred was so sweet because, like, again, this is, I don't know how big the male audience is for this show, but, like, every man who's watching the show should just take a page out of Fred's book, because when Vi says, you know, like, oh, don't touch me, like, I feel weird or whatever, and he's like, what's going on? And she's like, Fred, do you know what menopause is? And he says, no. And then she's like, the change of life. And he's like, oh, okay, I do kind of get an idea. She's like, I do, and then blah, 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 blah. She says her whole rant that you, like, literally just said. And then he's like, okay. And then he just gives her a hug. And it's just like, I understand, like, you're beautiful, like, you're amazing. Like, don't worry about it. Like, I'm gonna, you know, and just like,
oh, is he giving a hug because he doesn't really know what to do?
Well, exactly, but that is what you do. If you don't know what to do, you just respond with kindness and compassion and empathy. True. That's all you have to do. Like, he doesn't have to fix it.
I love him. Can I also say that Cliff Parisi, who plays him, also likes those of our posts. So if he listens,
I know.
Can you imagine if he listens? If you do listen, please message in, because we'd love to interview you. Or if you can arrange for us to interview loads of people, that'd be amazing as well as you.
Cliff, you're amazing. Also, by the way, can I just add the little cherry on top of the Sunday of that scene for me? Fred's in his overalls. Okay.
But with a he's got like a sweater underneath as well, because it's getting colder.
I know. And I was
Well, he knows to lay her up. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. And then,
I need to mention the corset that Violet buys, and we mentioned this earlier, but the corset that Violet buys from Wilma, because she says it's breathable. That corset did not look breathable at all. It looked as if it was made of rubber.
Well, did you hear my whole rant at the beginning of this? Like, that corset is not going to make her feel better. Wearing nothing would make her feel the best. That's what she should just wear, is like underwear and a bra, and just leave it at that. Be as free as you can, honey bun. Like, no. Like, covering yourself in all of that fabric and cinching yourself in is not going
to
be good.
Oh, and I also need to mention, because we get the end scene where everybody's on the carousel. Mm-hmm. And then Delia is starting to look all wistful because she's really missing Patsy.
Well, hang on. Let's rewind back to the start of the show as well, because Delia is looking through for a letter, isn't she?
Yeah.
Nurse Crane knows, obviously, and she's like, no word from Patsy, and she's like, oh, no, nothing yet. Right now, also, until another bit I want to talk about really quick before we talk about the amazing last scene, is Delia going to a gay bar and just basically complaining, like, I loved it, but at the same time, I found it really strange that she went to a gay bar. I'd be a bit annoyed it's like she was talking to random women. If I was missing my husband and went to a bar and started talking to loads of random men, I don't think he'd be too chuffed. I know I wouldn't be chuffed if he was speaking to a load of random women about...
She wasn't cheating, though. She was just talking.
And I love that the woman that she was talking to could clearly see how vulnerable she was and just took care of her.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I thought it was hilarious when she...
That wouldn't happen at my local...
When she went on this big impassioned thing, she's like, I feel like a whole part of me is just gone. It's invisible, like it never even existed. Oh. And then this lady next to her just goes, I'm going to get you a cab. And I was like, oh.
So anyway, she's
like,
forward,
you had enough, like you've fallen in the abyss.
Yeah, so well, fast forward to your scene, Bex.
Yeah, go because ahead. Delia's then starting to think, like, she's really missing Patsy. And then who does she see under the railway arch but Patsy?
In the snow.
Yeah.
But the reason I wanted to mention it is because we had a debate. I don't know if it was the last episode or the episode before. I was like, why do those two not communicate with each other better?
Yeah.
And you were like, she didn't have time to get in touch with Delia after the funeral. She was straight on the boat. No, she got the boat the day after the funeral.
I knew you were going to say this. I've written it.
She could have made a phone call.
I mean, Bex is going to say she had a day. That's what I've written. But she's like,
you had 12 hours and you didn't use it. Yeah. So there you go.
She was grief stricken, but you know, apart from that, Bex. But she was like, I didn't know you were coming back. And then Patsy says, really seriously, I did. Whenever I go next, like, you're coming with me, really posh. And then they do a big snog. And I was like, yes.
And that was quite dangerous to snog on the street like that.
Yeah, they really went for it. Especially when everybody was like right there. Like anybody could have seen them. Yeah. They really went for it.
Yeah,
they just couldn't contain their emotions.
Good.
I'm glad they're back together. I am too. Delia is kind of a bit of a spinning wheel without Patsy. You know, like a lot of their storylines, like, kind of have to include each other. So I'm glad.
Yeah, well, she was only brought in to be Patsy's
a girlfriend, basically. Yeah.
Shall we do Heroes and Zeros, ladies?
Yes.
Jen, have you even thought of one?
I have.
I do some. I'm not convinced. Should we do Becky first? Okay. That's fair.
Yeah, go ahead, Bex.
Okay, my zero is going to be Tom.
Okay, zero's Tom.
Yes.
Why?
Because Tom is like, this is all coming together so easily.
Just like a man to say that when he hasn't done any
work. Barbara, it was anything but easy. The stress of trying to make her own wedding dress, just the logistics of every, like the fact Phyllis had worked her round so that she could do all of the wedding admin. All of the work that went into it was just went over Tom's head.
Yeah.
And then my hero is going to be Fred for just being so lovely with Violet.
Oh, I love it.
He was going to be my hero for sorting out a stag do.
You can have it because it's a different reason.
No, I'm going to use another hero. So my hero is Barbara's cape. That cape was outstanding. She looked gorgeous. It was amazing for the
cape. Okay.
Yeah. It was amazing for the wedding, for the Christmas wedding. It made me want to get married in a cape. Loved it. Don't really like wedding dresses, if I'm honest. My zero is society for being really weirdly judgmental about the contraceptive pill for women and the fact that Wilma had felt like she had to be secretive about it. And obviously, I don't think it could have avoided what actually happened to her. But at the same time, I just thought, ugh, It just made me angry.
But actually, would it have made a difference? Because Dr. Turner might have known what was... He suspected a stroke, didn't he? Or a heart attack. He was asking if she'd had any pain in her arm.
Yeah.
Yeah. He did get there eventually.
Yeah.
All right. My zero is going to be Trevor Goddins.
Yes.
Wilma's husband, because I'm sorry, like, he was just a caveman basically, and I know there's no way for us to know this, but like, I just am very afraid that he's just not going to be a good dad to those girls once Wilma's gone, and like, he's just gonna, I don't know, just stumble along and like, ugh. So, and also, he was kind of a whatever husband even when she was there. Like, Wilma deserved a lot better. She was a bright shining star and he was kind of a blob. So anyways, just kind of a zero for me. And then my hero, I mean, oh my god, like, girls, this episode just really sent me. I am just going to say that my hero is the scene between two scenes in this episode. One between Barbara and Phyllis when Barbara asked Phyllis to be the bridesmaid.
Yeah.
And the second one when Sheila and Julianne, Sister Julianne, are together and she's giving birth and that whole thing. Like, when she's like saying the thing about, you know, like, you've been so many people and all of, you're still all of them at once. And, you know, all that whole part. Those two scenes just absolutely, I love them so much. I could cry over them again right now just thinking about it. Like, they're so beautiful. The writing in this episode this week was so outstanding. Like, give whoever wrote this episode an award. Like, it was so beautiful. It was so thoughtful. Oh my God, I just loved it.
So I think we could all agree this is a top tier Called Midwife episode. Yes.
This is another top five episodes of the whole series in my mind. No question about it. Yeah.
Now, one of my favorite episode is actually the next episode.
Oh, ooh, listeners, are you hearing that?
If I'm having a bad day, I put on the next episode.
Oh, see?
That's nice.
What we got to do at the... Well, we can discuss this offline, but I'm just saying, like, we should do like a top five ever called Midwife episodes.
Yeah, we should. That's do a good show.
Like, now, I've got correspondence here.
Okay.
Now, it's actually got loads of good stuff that I'm going to use for the listeners special as well, but I'm just going to do a bit of a rundown of some little things here. But
you're not going to mention Cindy.
No. Cindy is someone online who basically criticized us, and we were like, why are you bothering? We do this for free, just go away. Anyway, so this lady does not criticize us. She's amazing. Her name is Allo, and she's from Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico.
Oh,
I know. Oh my God. Excited.
Puerto Rico. Yes. Yeah.
So she says, I just finished listening to your Series 6, Episode 1 podcast, and I love it. I adored how Sheila shared her pregnancy news with Dr. Turner.
Nice.
We were criticizing
so
it.
So cringe.
But listen. Hang on. Listen to reasoning. Both of them are medical nerds, and that is their quirk. She's right. Sheila used to be the one to teach the younger nurses breech baby class. In Poplar, they call it arriving arse first. And often in the background, you'd see drawings of that baby whenever she was around teaching or in the clinic. So we can assume it's her thing, which Patrick loves because we know he finds her sexy whenever she's in her element. Okay. The first time he saw her in a nurse dress, for example, lol. It's just
Wait, did you add the lol? Or did
she did. She
did. Lol. Okay.
It's just fitting for them. And it's even cuter knowing that Angela helped too, just like Tim helps his dad Posel. My only complaint is Patrick's lack of excitement, but men are a disappointment 99.9% of the time.
Do you know what? I have to say that whenever they're doing some sort of class, the boards that they prepare are always top notch.
Yeah. They do.
Like, nowadays, if we were doing that, you wouldn't even be able to read someone's handwriting.
I know. We'd have to make a PowerPoint nowadays, because we wouldn't be able to do it that way.
Okay, so she also says, I may be in the minority here, but I also don't I don't like Tom at all. The moment he left, I cheered, right? But that's it.
I think we're kind of whatever about Tom. Yeah. So
also she says, random, but I went to Catholic school and we had nuns. They were so lovely. So when people often talk about how Sister Ursula is what nuns are like in real life, it baffles me. The nuns I knew and grew up with were more like Sister Julianne and Evangelina. They were strict but caring at the same time. It seems I'm the only one of the lucky people who've encountered friendly nuns. Now that's an amazing point of view, because obviously
I love that. I love hearing that.
Yeah. Now this
and
is
I've
the bit you need to
I've never encountered a nun. So
I grew up Catholic, so I've encountered nuns. The ones I've known have been nice. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, this is the bit that you really need to listen to. Okay. So it's pretty. Also, since I'm here, I just want to thank you all for making this podcast. I love it. You guys have made some of my more challenging days brighter, and I can't thank you enough. Oh, hello, we love you. Now listen, Jen, your Spanish is horrible. But we shall forgive you for that, because I love how passionate you are about, well, let's be honest, everything.
Oh.
My English is also horrible. It is not, Allo. So I understand your struggle. Keep up that passion. It's charming. You are amazing.
Oh.
Right? Hang on. Bex, you remind me of Jane. Please take it as the biggest compliment because I adore Jane. Your comments make me laugh the most because they are always so unexpected and I love them. When you were sharing your story about how Alex wanted to ask a question and you begged for them not to choose her, is this so relatable? I am the same and worse. I would have pretended not to know Alex for the duration of the day if I were in your shoes. Also, you not wanting to take a picture with Stephen made me laugh a little too much, and it's epic. You are amazing.
Aww.
And then she says, Alex, I'm still not over the flying squad debacle. Oh, Your honesty and bluntness makes me laugh a lot, and I love it. You being squeamish and a fainter about anything makes me lol because you couldn't have chosen a worse series to watch for squeamish people. You are amazing. So then she asks loads of amazing questions, which we will refer back to for the listeners' special, Allo. But we just wanted to say a massive thank you.
Allo, we love you.
And we've also had Julie Coat as well as messaged us this week, and I'm going to use that for the listener special as well. So we just want to say thank you very much. We will use all these for the listener special, so I'm just not going to read them out today. But yeah, I just thought that would absolutely lift your mood. I just thought that would be so funny.
Oh, that's so lovely.
You know what? Honestly, I mean, we all love getting singled out with those beautiful comments, but I think I could speak for all of us when we say, like, if anything we've given has given you like a brighter day in any way, shape or form, like that truly is just, that's stunning. But
also, it's the fact that someone's actually listening that's not us. It absolutely baffles me that people like talking to us about stuff and that she genuinely knows us and listens because she's got us all bang on there. Especially me being amazing. But like, I just think how mad is it that people actually listen to us and care?
Yeah. I know. It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. The power of this community. I mean, I just like this show really, like if you like this show, I feel like it says something about you as a person in terms of like your interests and kind of values and stuff like that. And I just think everyone who listens to this show just... So sweet. I love it. I'm so touched. Oh my gosh.
I know how.
And Allo got to hear some of your beautiful Spanish again today, Jen.
She thought that when she was doing it.
She did. Non lo so. Something Fortunata.
Well, also just another behind the scenes. I read all the correspondence and I don't share it with them until the podcast because I want an actual, real,
honest response
from these two for it. So that's the first time they've heard it.
Oh, it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. And actually, I do need to work on my Spanish. And so if I get any better, it will be because of your beautiful...
Hang on, Allo, how's this? Quiero una vino tinto, por favor.
Let us know.
Y un cerveza. Oh, that was rubbish. Anyway.
We're working on it. Yeah. Alex, you and I have to practice our vocab just like Phyllis and Barbara.
I did a class about 12 years ago for about 4 weeks.
Oh, see?
I did French and German at school. Anyway, that's by the by. Next week, we are watching the Christmas special, which I'm very excited about.
Yes.
I can't remember what happens.
Well, it's not very Christmassy because they have Christmas and then it's the worst winter and it's like weeks and weeks. They're like snowed in.
Okay.
If you want to watch along with us, so watch it and then listen along with us, that would be fantastic. And also, it's going to be dropping on Christmas Eve.
I know. We planned that, listeners.
Yeah, we totally did. It wasn't an accident at all.
Very thoughtfully. Like 6 months ago, we thought, how can we make this work out? And it happened.
So, yeah, that would be amazing if you could watch it and listen along. And just remember to also give us a like, give us a subscribe, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, X, which is obviously used to be Twitter. Look at me remembering it the right way around this time.
Yeah. Spread.
And then you can email us to recallthemidwife@gmail.com. That would be fantastic.
Like and subscribe on any podcast platform.
If you have any questions for us, if you've got any comments, like Allo, not like Cindy, we don't want any hate mail. if you could send us anything, that'd be amazing as well. We're going to do the listener special soon, so any questions would be fantastic. Have a fantastic week and we will see you next week.
See you next time.
Bye-bye.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.